Greetings on this last Sunday of 2024. I love learning and I love sharing what I have learned. I think that's probably why I became a teacher. So this morning I want to share or give witness to something that I have discovered. During Old Testament times, most people heard rather than read the scriptures or their Bible, and the same occurred in the New Testament. So the language of our Bible includes symbols and metaphors to enable listeners to remember and understand what they have heard. And I would argue that these symbols remain relevant today. One of the most powerful and prolific symbols in the Bible is light. The word light appears 535 times in the Bible, and in John's Gospel alone, light is mentioned 24 times. In the Old Testament, light is associated with God and his word, with salvation, with goodness, with truth, with life. In the New Testament, light also represents the revelation of God's love in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said of himself in John's Gospel, "I am the light of the world." And each week we light the worship candle to symbolise and remember the presence and light of God and Christ in our world. So we're all looking at the candle and remembering. During the recent weeks of Advent, we have reflected upon the words of prophets and gospel writers, especially Isaiah and John, who used this symbol, light, to remember the birth of Jesus. And during Advent, we have lighted extra candles each week to celebrate the birth of Jesus and to remember the peace, joy, hope and love the light of Christ brings into the world. We're looking at the candle again. Remember, one of our Advent readings from John says of Christ, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In many of these Advent passages, light is contrasted with darkness. John says in chapter 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness." And if one researches a bit more deeply, one notices that these absolutely opposite concepts, light and darkness, are commonly paired through the Bible. The linking together of opposites is for those of us who like to name things antithesis. Writers throughout history have used this literary technique because it's like a mental stop sign. According to Aristotle, who knew a bit about teaching, the use of antithesis or paired opposites, like "the light shines in the darkness," makes the sentence more memorable for the reader or listener through the balance and emphasis of the words. "The light shines in the darkness." It also helps us better understand the point the speaker is trying to make. We develop a greater understanding of life through defining its opposite, darkness. And the comparison of these two opposites, light and darkness, makes choosing the correct one, light, simpler. The light shines in the darkness. To reinforce and produce an even stronger message for people who are listening, you can repeat the pairing of opposites using slightly different phrasing. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now we will put these three sentences from the opening chapter of John together. We've mentioned the word light, which is Christ and God, the presence of Christ and God. We've got the opposite pairings, light and darkness. We have the repetition. And then we see the flame of the worship candle. All are aids to help us to remember the promise of these beautifully written, memorable words. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light and darkness are linked together from the first chapter of Genesis, when God created day and night in verses 3 and 4. They continue to be regularly linked through the Old Testament. Remember our Christmas reading from Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The pairing of light and darkness opens the Gospel of John. Remember, the light shines in the darkness. And it's also in other Gospels. And the Bible ends with the vision of a new Eden or city of God lit by the glory of God where there is no darkness in the last chapter of Revelation. In these light-darkness pairings, light has received top billing. The antithetical partner, darkness, has been cast into the shadows. But the darkness, whether metaphorical or actual, is real. We recognise darkness as an inevitable part of our life experience. And when we experience darkness, it is often associated with the grief of loss. Loss of a loved one, loss of direction, loss of vocation, loss of trust, loss of independence. So as we approach the end of 2004 and look forward to an uncertain new year, I wanted to look at the role of darkness in our lives. And the truly encouraging thing for me is that the Bible acknowledges the existence of darkness. It has existed from the beginning of creation, and it's in the opening verses of Genesis. Darkness came before light in the creation story, not that there's a competition. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Did you notice that the Spirit of God was present in the darkness? God named the darkness night, and it partnered every 24 hours with day, and God recognised it and all that he had created as good. Darkness is mentioned 162 times and is also a common theme throughout the Bible. This morning I want to highlight two narratives in which darkness serves as a reminder of God's presence and faithfulness, even in difficult times. The two passages read by Sue involve a divine message from the Lord. The nature of each narrative is very visual. We can easily picture the scene and the action in each of them. For both narratives, the setting is the night, a time of darkness. And in each of the stories, Samuel and the disciples do not immediately understand or see the source of the divine message. They need reassurance and guidance to recognise the voice and respond to the message. We will begin with the very familiar Samuel story. This has some wonderful imagery in it, and there are many symbols of darkness. The rarity of divine visions at the time the people were in darkness, Eli's failing eyesight, the physical darkness of the windowless temple lit only by the lamp of the Lord at night time. And if you happen to read a little further in this chapter, God's message to Samuel concerns Eli's family's dark reckoning. The lamp of the Lord is lit every evening in the dark windowless temple at this time. The young boy Samuel hears the voice of the Lord call his name in the darkness of night as he lies alone in the temple. Samuel hears this call three times. He is a young, inexperienced boy. He will not work this out by himself. God uses Eli, who can barely see and whose family were estranged from God, to enlighten Samuel. When Samuel learns that the voice of the Lord is calling him, he responds as Eli has taught him. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Can we hear the voice of the Lord more clearly in the darkness because the glare and the noise and the distractions of the world have been stifled? In the second reading, darkness represents blackness and chaos and separation. I chose Matthew's narrative of this because the imagery goes back to Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In this narrative, it is dark. The disciples are in a boat a considerable distance from the safety of land. They are struggling to survive a storm, being buffeted by the wind and waves. And then, already traumatised, they see an apparition approaching them across the water in the darkness. They're terrified. But then they hear the voice of the Lord over the sound and fury of the storm. Peter recognises Jesus' voice in the darkness. Jesus is present in the deep darkness and chaos of their life. In the hymn that we just sang so wonderfully, there's a phrase that says, "His angels are human." God calls all Christians to be lights in the darkness. Chapter 1 of John's Gospel speaks about John being a witness to the light. This has practical implications for how we live our lives as Christians. We, like John, are witnesses to the light of Christ. We are called to live lives which reflect this light, being a source of hope and encouragement to others. We carry the lamplight to light the darkness in other people's lives, showing kindness and compassion to others. And our congregation is known for that. Margaret and Rob experienced the warmth of the light of many candles on the evening of our carol service, if you remember. there was a host of carols on this, of candles on this table. And sorry?
45.
Not that we're counting. And it was a lovely warm evening. Could that be a metaphor for the power and impact of our joined witness of Jesus Christ's love? We're now going to remember those of our congregation who have died this year. We remember them with gratitude, with love, and with sadness. Roger King, Evan Newnham, Lynn Chalou, Rob Rees, Joe Glasson, and Val Nielsen. We had experience of each of those people reflecting the light of Jesus and using their own unique gifts to be a source of encouragement and hope for others. The light of a single worship candle is a warming, gentle glow. And yet one of my heroes, St. Francis of Assisi, declared that all the darkness of the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. May the Lord bless you in the coming year and be a light to your path through the darkness.
As we go, let's remember the metaphors that Wendy shared with us. The Spirit of God hovering over the deep in the darkness. God present in the darkness. The worship candle reminding us each week that the light does shine in the darkness and that no darkness can overcome. The child Samuel in the dark, attentive to a voice which he learnt to recognise as the voice of God. The disciples out there in the darkness, in the storm, a real storm, but also symbolising the storms of our world. Jesus coming, Jesus calling through the darkness. The light is Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not ever overcome. Amen.